It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. There you'll get a first look at all of our upcoming guests, the most recent podcasts, most recent op-eds, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Just a disclaimer, I'm a little behind on emails, but I will be working on those this weekend. And thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening. I so appreciate each and every one of you, and you have a purpose. Strive for excellence. Live with intention. Take care of your heart, your soul, and your mind and your body. We were made for this time, and it is a time that we are in right now. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday to you, producer Steve.
Yeah, I can't do the woohoo like you do, but yeah, woohoo.
And we've got a big weekend planned. You've got a lot going on. Tomorrow is the event for the United States, USMC Memorial Foundation.org. It is their fundraising, and it is an afternoon with the general. I'm not sure if you can still get tickets. You could certainly go to USMC Memorial Foundation.org and see if you can, but that's going to be a great event. Major General Bill Mullen will be speaking, and I think that Jim Blaine, who we have interviewed before, He's a Iwo Jima World War II veteran. I think he's going to be there as well. So it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and you're going to be there, Steve. I'm excited about that.
Wait a minute. You're excited about the event, not my being there.
Well, I'm excited about both.
Well, that's clarity here.
And I'm excited because several members of the team are going to be there, and I'm not sure all of you have met face-to-face yet. And I'm very excited about that.
Now, that's something I've been looking for a couple of years now. So that'll be good.
Yes. And we have a great show planned for you this Sunday on America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. We are going through this series. There were 10 Vietnam veterans that contributed chapters to this very important book, Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans. Look back 50 years ago, and the author or the guy that put this all together was Colonel Bob Fisher. And so we will be talking with Vietnam veterans Gary Eichler and Bill Purcells. And really, I just find these stories fascinating, Steve.
Yes, again, I get the honor of gluing the show together, you know, for Sunday, and the things that I hear just always made me kind of stop and ponder a little bit. And my imagination gets, you know, really stimulated as a thinking what they were enduring. And what'd you talk about yesterday? The mention of the snake, 20-foot snake?
A 20-foot snake.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was Gary or Bill now, but they're in position by this river. And he said that was the thing about Vietnam that just he remembered was snakes. And so he's in position and this 20-foot snake.
I would have been in Cambodia within the hour, but I'm sure things regarding snakes wouldn't have been any better there.
Yeah, probably. So fascinating. This is on 3 to 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And one of my partners, my sponsorship partners for both these shows is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. They have all kinds of specials. They have Saturday specials, to-go, dine-in, kids eat free. You can find all those specials if you go to my website, that's kimmunson.com, and just click on the sponsor tab. And all my sponsors come up. And please continue to use these people for their services that they offer or their businesses, because they're one of the reasons why I'm on the air. And this day and age, independent, courageous voices is super important. And so I appreciate them immensely. And again, that's Hooters Restaurants. Thank you to them for sponsoring both the shows. And then also to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep this show going. I really appreciate that as well. And let's go to, as you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, we should not have to force people to do that. People should be able to get the information, look at it, kick the tires on the idea, have that idea stand up to scrutiny, and people should be able, in a free country, be able to make the responsible decisions on how to live their lives. And one of the ways that we do that, we haven't mentioned this for a while, Steve, and that is Rudyard Kipling has said. And these questions, when something comes up, ask these questions, and this is what he said. He said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." And that is really a basis of what we do on this show every day, Steve.
No argument there. And I'm thinking of, one of my favorite things to bang the drum on is the fact that the electorate in general is so uninformed. And, I don't care. There's people out there, no matter what their political affiliation is, there are things going on right now that they would not like if they knew, if they only knew what was going on. And that's a heck of a thing, to come down on the citizenry of a country.
Well, and we've talked a lot about it this last week. And mainstream media, well, the whole conversation with Cheryl Akison on Wednesday about censorship, Helen Jean Mitchell was in studio, again, one of my great partners. And we had an important conversation about censorship because Cheryl has this new book out, Slanted. And how the mainstream or how media made us love censorship and hate journalism. But, Steve, every day, I think more and more people are learning, more and more people are paying attention. And I think we are having a great awakening. And it's a little bit at a time. But we cannot give up. We must speak truth into these issues and look for clarity on these, Steve.
Well, maybe you're always at the front of this thing. I'm always two steps behind. But listening to other big radio show hosts around the country, I think they would agree with you that there seems to be an awakening coming, albeit slow, but it is happening.
It is happening. My concern, and actually I think that is why we were seeing with the Harris-Biden administration that they are just, it's no holes barred, it's pedal to the metal on all of these radical activist regressive policies, because I think that they are concerned that there is this awakening and what is going to happen when people really understand as this mask is coming off, the veil is coming off, what this agenda is. They're doing big damage to our country right now, Steve. I know many of us are concerned, how do we walk this back? And one of those things is going back to our founding, an appeal to the divine provider. He has had his hand on this country from the very beginning, and we need to ask him not to give up on us yet.
Well, I'm thinking back now when you just said they're doing great damage. There was an event in 2012. I think it might have been the Correspondents' Dinner where Trump was a guest out
a guest at the dinner.
Yeah, at the dinner. Mm-hmm. And Obama was openly mocking him from the podium. And some people had suggested that that was the point where Trump said, okay, I'm in. And we know the history for the last 8-10 years now. Trump did a lot to pull back on a lot of the damage that was done by Obama, 8 years of him, and now we go right back to it.
Well, I think that we can be very grateful for the Trump years in as much as it has brought a lot, it has taken the mask off. And kind of the final thing is this whole election integrity. And I've had many conversations with people that have been frustrated first of all, that Trump didn't realize just how deep the election integrity issues run. And then secondly, where is the proof? Because nothing really has played out in the courts yet. But I would recommend that you go back and go to my website and listen to the interview that I had with John Eastman, who is Trump's attorney. And Eastman is one of the constitutional experts in the country. And he goes through what has happened. And just bear in mind, this isn't over yet. We are going to continue to to work to have election integrity in our country. If we don't, we don't have a country. And this is the battle that we have right now. So many of you reach out and say, what can I do? And I'm working on that. We're working on exactly what you can do to plug in and help. So we'll be back to you on that. Let's go to our quote for today. And that is, I've been concerned about what's happening down at the border. At the Harris-Biden border is a mess. And just think about it. It's, let's see, Biden, when he was inaugurated, right around, what, the 20th of January? Is that
January 20th, yes.
Okay, January 20th. And today is April 9th, so January to February, not even 3 months yet. Look at what is going on at the border. And this is not compassionate whatsoever, what is happening to children down there, Steve. So that is why I was looking for quotes about the value of our children. And it was John F. Kennedy. And you know him. He was often referred to as JFK. He was an American politician who served as the 35th president of the United States from 1961 until he was assassinated in 1963. He served at the height of the Cold War, and the majority of his work as president concerned relations with the Soviet Union and Cuba. He was born in 1917, and he died in 1963. It was really interesting, Steve, as I was looking for quotes. I mentioned earlier this week a quote that we came up with. I can't remember the guy's name. John. Anyway, the one about the conservatives, where he basically took a shot at the word conservative. I was looking at these quotes for JFK, and there was one where he was talking about that Republicans were ones that made promises that they never kept. And if you look at it now, JFK would be a Republican with what has happened with the different parties. He would be laughed out of this Democrat Party that is now being run by radical activists, regressives that really have a Marxist view of the world. And so this is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK, but this is what he said. He said, children are the world's most valuable resources and its best hope for the future.
I'm glad he said the world, because I was just going to pounce right behind that and say, well, not just the children of the U.S. of A., but around the world.
Around the world, for sure. And it is so important that we talk about these issues. And one of the ways that we do this is because we are on the air, and it's because of the great partners that I get to work with. And one of my great sponsors of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories is Hal Van Herke. He is an entrepreneur. He's the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. It's a family-owned business, and they have blades from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And so whether or not you are a chef or a collector or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool has an extensive inventory there. Would highly recommend you check out castlegate.com. On the line with me is Hal Van Herke. Hal, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. It's great to be here.
And I heard from one of our listeners that he had dropped by Castlegate Knife and Tool and had purchased a new knife. And he said that your inventory is just amazing, Hal.
Yeah, we're by far the largest retail display of knives in the western United States, by far the largest in the Rocky Mountain region. And we just try to make sure that we have a lot of, if for somebody who's taking the time to stop by, we want to make sure we have a very broad selection of knives that they're not going to find anywhere else, and a lot to choose from when they take the time to stop by. Also, we have all those knives on the website as well.
And that's castlegate.com. And you are such a valued sponsor, but you also are really a great commentator on what's happening regarding small to mid-sized businesses here in Colorado, because you are an entrepreneur, you are an owner of a small business. And how recently in the Colorado Sun, there was a headline that said Colorado's unemployment fund is nearly $1 billion in debt, and small businesses are worried about paying the tab. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Colorado has a track record of mismanaging some of our insurance funds and unemployment funds. Years ago, we had the highest workman compensation rates in the country by far because of the way we managed our funds. During the Great Recession in 2009 through 2011, our fund went into the hole, and they had to borrow money for it, which was probably a good solution. Now they're looking at, because of the pandemic and everything, that the fund is going to be short over $1 billion. And the way this works is, every time you get a paycheck, your employer adds a little bit additional and sends it to the state to fund the unemployment insurance fund. With so many people out of work and not working, that fund didn't receive as much money, but at the same time, people were drawing more unemployment out of that fund. So it's about ready to hit $1 billion in the hole. And one of the options the state is looking at is to try to pass that onto a surcharge for local small businesses, which in some cases could add up to an 84% increase in your unemployment insurance that you have to send in.
Oh my gosh!
Every month. And so the federal government had sent a lot of money to the states to help offset these types of things. And it's really critical that we get out and voice our opinion to Governor Polis, who has a lot of influence on how that money gets spent. To take the money that was given to him by the federal government for COVID relief and make sure that the fund gets replenished versus spending it elsewhere on pet projects and then having small businesses foot that billion-dollar bill on their own. So it's something that, if you value small business and local Colorado businesses, whether they're small or large, and want to maintain high employment rates in Colorado, and then you reach out to your local representative in the state or state house or senate and to Governor Polis's office directly and express an interest in some government relief to replenish that fund versus passing it all on to small businesses.
And so when people would contact them, that would be the narrative is basically, I'm a small business owner and we really have gotten knocked around through this whole reaction to the Wuhan virus and however you want to address that like
and,
that. And then just say...
Don't just put more on top of us. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, don't put more on top of us and take your responsibility and monies that are coming in from the federal government, which that's a whole nother discussion, Hal, the way they're printing that. But that money should be used to shore this up because that is one of the number one places where people have gone for money. And don't look to small businesses that are struggling to just get things going again. And so that's the narrative you'd really recommend to people.
That's exactly right. And you don't have to be a small business owner. You just have to be somebody in Colorado who's interested in preserving and maintaining small businesses and keeping your jobs at local and Colorado-based businesses. So this one's open to anybody who's listening to go in and voice their opinion about let's not put this burden all on Colorado business when we've got a lot of relief funds coming in that were earmarked for that and we should use those.
Absolutely. Hal Van Herkey, thank you so much. You are a valued partner of both of the shows. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is just a great... It's a great small business, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
And we will be right back with more headlines.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Let's jump over here to the bill of the day. This is House Bill 21-1246. And again, that's how you find it, is House Bill 21. That means 2021 is the year, and HB House Bill coming out of the House. So the primary sponsors on this are Representative Sirota and Senator Joaquiz Lewis. And this is regarding PARA, the Public Employees Retirement Association, divestment from fossil fuel companies. And it says the Public Employees Retirement Association, PARA Board, would be required to create an exclusion list of all fossil fuel companies in whose stocks, securities, equities, assets, or other company on the list of its inclusion on the list and of the divestment requirements of the bill. The board is required to periodically update the exclusion list. I would say that exclusion is another one of those force words, Steve. It's just hiding a little bit. There seems to be force over all over this.
Well, you're the one who finds that particular verbiage every time one of these pops up. You find it before I do. And But my first take on it was like, here we are. We're finding another way to shame the fossil fuels industry.
Well, and it's not only trying to shame them. And this, again, has been a long-term movement that they're trying to do. But they're trying to take the capital markets and basically starve these fossil fuel companies from capital. And, of course, your big retirement funds, there's a lot of money there. And if you, in fact, are a teacher or a public employee that has money in this, you might want to take a look at it and think about what has fossil fuels really done for you? Actually, fossil fuels allows you to go where you want to, when you want to. Electric cars, it does take a long time to actually charge those batteries. I was in a hurry the other day, and I was low on gas. So I went to the gas station. Within 5 minutes, I have a full tank, and I'm ready to go another few hundred miles. That is really something that is very liberating for my life. I turn on the lights, and I have the assurance with reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy that the lights are going to turn on, that I have heat in my home. Think about all of the products that we have, that we wear, that we use, that have petroleum products in them. So one has to ask, why on earth would this movement want to try to starve fossil fuel companies from having capital to go out and make our lives better?
Well, we have deduced, or I've said many times now, this every time this topic comes up, how much of it actually has to do with technology versus some political agenda and or vote buying?
I'm not quite sure who they're vote buying for. I guess it would be all the Green New Deal and the electric people.
The people who have been brought into this realm of green energy, AOC's idiotic ploy for more government money. But we're faithful to put out our little disclaimer. We are not anti-new technology. We just want it to be mature and ready to go.
And so you make a point there, and you're always good about that, saying we are not anti-electric cars. We are not anti. But if, in fact, that could compete in the free market and those ideas could stand the scrutiny, there's no scrutiny right now over on electric vehicles on what happens to those batteries once they're no longer usable.
Yeah, they won't take a charge. So they have to be replaced, and it's not cheap.
Okay, I have to come up with my little example from last week then. Remember?
Do it.
I was broadcasting remotely, and it's kind of a crazy story. But anyway, I was in a cold climate, let me put it that way, and I was going to broadcast from my car. So I had the car on, but I hadn't warmed the car up, and it was 9 degrees when I went out and got in the car. The little rig that I have has to go through my phone. And because it was so cold, I hadn't warmed the car up, my phone was losing battery, and I cannot be on the rig with my phone and charge it at the same time. And I was, 40 minutes into the show, we had 22 minutes left, and I looked over and I only had 18% charge when I'd started at 100%. And normally I only take about, maybe 30% of the battery power when I normally am just in a regular climate. My point is these batteries, here in Colorado in particular, the cold makes them less effective. And I learned that just with my phone that day, and we decided at some point I'd tell that story. I thought this was a good place to tell it.
Well, it is. And back to what you said just a couple minutes ago about these newer technologies being able to stand up in the marketplace. That's the key. And what's not happening, and you won't hear about, is that the public's acceptance of EVs, yeah, they're out there. You see them on the road. But I think any dealership who is selling the EV line would be the first one to tell you that they're not selling as expected.
Well, and again, the market says, I want this other product. So here you come in with these radical activist regressives, and they use all these words. The other word in this bill is require and exclude, require and exclude. If something can actually pass the muster of a good idea, you should not have to use those words, Steve. And I wonder where North Face is, VF Corp, that actually they received millions of dollars of tax incentives and breaks on everything under the guise of economic development. But the North Face coats, the things that they wear, there's all petroleum products in there. Instead of trying to take down the fossil fuel industry, people should be standing up for that. And I wonder where this is going to go. But one other thing, Steve, we mentioned when I was doing the pre-call is this may die in one of the committees.
Let's hope.
But you can rest assured it's going to come back because I don't know how many years ago, it was probably 6 or 7 years ago, there was this movement up at CU. It was a presentation in front of the regents to say, hey, you need to divest all of CU's money from fossil fuels.
I remember that.
And so I went up and testified at that. The regents ultimately said no. But the point is, my friends, they never give up. Here we are right here with legislation right here in front of the Colorado State Legislature. And one other thing, I'm running over on time, so I'm not really going to get to talk a whole lot about this, but I wanted to make sure that we are going to have a miracle in Colorado. I am so excited about it, Steve, because Governor Polis said that he is sure the pandemic will be gone in time for the All-Star baseball game. What a miracle. Can you believe it?
I'm trying not to laugh, but I can't believe a guy like him would go out on a limb so far out. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen by July. And you know, there'll be plenty of people waiting to saw that limb off. But, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Isn't it interesting?
He's been Mr. Doom and Gloom since this thing started, and now all of a sudden he's this bag of sunshine.
Yeah, it's a miracle what's going to happen. What do you think about that miracle, Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management?
I think we've lowered the bar quite a bit on the definition of a miracle.
Okay, you got me on that one. So, hey, what's happening in the market?
Markets have still been pretty good, Kim. I mean, the Dow is at very, very close to new highs. It's it still has been kind of moving upwards. If we look back, you know, for most of March, the Dow has moved upwards, and the first few days of April, it also has. Same with the S&P. Now, as I had said, the NASDAQ was playing a little bit of catch-up. But now the NASDAQ has moved back above its 50-day moving average. The chart on that is looking better. It's still a little bit off of its high. You know, the market still looks okay here, although it's behaving a little bit more cautiously, I would say, you know, than it has been over the last few months and you know, going all the way back till it came off the bottom last March. But, you know, every market that's going up needs to take a breath. So we don't know what the next move is going to be for sure.
Jason, you know, in the old days, I was in the investment business. I was a VP at Boettcher & Company. Now I'm dating myself, everybody that knows Boettcher & Company, because it was bought out, blah, 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 blah. But what I learned is that if you, as an investor, can get that middle, really 60%, like not, you know, don't sell at the very bottom, and you can never buy at the very bottom, you can never sell at the very top. But if you can get that sweet spot in there, you can be pretty successful. But human nature is that I want to wait because it might go higher. And that's just human nature. But actually, for successful investing, you may want to take a look at your risk tolerance, and sometimes lighten up, take some of those profits. It depends person to person, but I know that you will sit down with people and help them assess that.
Yeah, that's true, Kim. And, you know, I find that a lot of everybody feels different. There's some investors that are always worried that the downside's right around the corner. There's some that, you know, that don't worry about it at all and just, you know, are willing to kind of take the swings up and down, believing in the long term. And there's a lot of people that are in between. So our job is to, you know, work with your personality, so to speak, mm-hmm. and your needs and your dreams, and get that on paper and figure out a way to give you what you want, while maybe putting in a dose of what you actually need at the same time, and, you know, be able to help you realize what you're trying to do and give you as clear of a picture of it as possible, so you know where you are now and hopefully where you're going in the future.
Well, it sounds like a good plan. How can people reach you, Jason McBride?
best way, Kim, is just to give us a call. That's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And, Kim, I'll point out that we're open for face-to-face appointments, you know, business hours, if you need to come in after hours, even if, you know, only a Saturday would work for you. We're here to engage with people and help them in any way we can. So once more, give us a call, 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, thanks so much. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one, Kim.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we have a very important guest that will be talking about what's happening at the border.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am thrilled and honored to have on the line with me. I feel like she's my friend already because the friend that introduced us, I treasure, and that is Andy Berger with Beulah's Place, as well as she has starting this new organization, Voices Against Trafficking. And I think, Alma Tucker, I think you're very involved in that as well, correct?
Oh, yes. I'm one of the founders, and I'm very proud to be part of. Thank you, Kim. Good morning. It's an honor to speak with you and your public.
Oh, it's so good to talk with you as well. And Alma, you are the founder of another organization, the International Network of Hearts, and it's bringing hope to survivors of human trafficking. So tell us about that, Alma.
Sure. Thank you. Well, International Network of Hearts in California and Red Binacional de Corazones in Mexico are two sister nonprofit organizations. We established them in 2010, and our mission is to bring prevention, education to the community while providing direct services to survivors of human trafficking and just in the borders between Tijuana and San Diego. We work the three P's, prevention, persecution, and protection, and our organization fights against human trafficking. And also we have shelters, one for boys, one for girls, and for young adults. And in these shelters, we provide mental, physical, education, emotion. And we cover all the education needs. And our goal is to reintegration healthy to society. And, you know, we also opened in 2019 a boys' house. As you know, the boys are the silent victims, but they also need help. And we're very proud that we opened probably one of the first shelters in the Mexican nation, because before we started this, shelter was none for boys.
Alma, how is it that you got involved? How did this issue come to be on your heart?
Well, one situation in particular, I used to work with the Mexican consulate in San Diego in Protection Department, and one of my duties was to be present when the Border Patrol officer called and minor or individuals were rescued, you know, trying to get to the United States. Usually they pay coyotes. But this particular situation, I remember like yesterday. I was called to the emergency room by the Border Patrol to help a young girl who had been rescued after the arrest of the coyotes. She was traveling with. Her parents paid those coyotes, but the coyotes lied to her and said then they only paid the half, and then now she had to pay with her body. Can you imagine the men then raped her, leaving her hurt and scared and all alone? That girl was only 12 years old. I remember I was walking through the halls, walking to the emergency room, and I hear her crying for her mother. I make my way to reach her bed. I remember there was a doctor, nurse, social worker, but none speak Spanish. And the girl could not communicate, but she was screaming for her mother. And then at that time, I hold her hand, I look at her eyes, and I promise her that I will not leave her side until we found her mommy, and she will be reunited with her. That particular moment, I promised myself that either if I don't work anymore as a Foreign Services officer, I will find my way to help kids, vulnerable kids that need someone, then have empathy in this situation. And that's how began my family's journey directly into the fight against human trafficking. We start helping children in the red light district in Tijuana. And we start doing a lot of awareness and prevention, but was no one shelter. And we decide to open the first shelter in 2013. And we've been serving girls and boys from the age of 5 years old all the way to 21 years old.
Okay, Alma, now I want to go back to this. So was this in 2010 when this happened with this young girl? Is that when that happened?
No, I'm sorry. 2010, we started a nonprofit, but I used to work with the Mexican consulate in San Diego since 1990 to 2002. And that's when I have that specific experience working as a Foreign Service officer at the consulate. Then that's when I had that experience, around 2000 probably, when I had that particular experience. But when I retired in 2002, after we decide to open this organization.
Okay. So this is a 12-year-old girl, and you did get her reunited with her mother. Was her mother in the United States, or was her mother back in the original country?
No, the mother was already in the United States. They left behind this little girl with grandma, but their goal was to bring to reintegrate the family, and this is why they decide to pay a coyote, smugglers, to bring her illegal through the mountains, because they don't have undocuments in this country. They don't have a legal documents, and they don't have a way to bring her legal. Then they pay to the coyotes to bring her, and they bring her walk, you know, from the mountains for days. But after I believe 24 hours walking in the open area is when they confront her with those news, then she has to pay the other half with her own body.
Had the deal been said that when she got to the United States and was reunited with her mother, it was at that point that they would pay the other half, or what was the deal that had been struck on that?
That usually what they do. They say, pay me now the half, and when I reunite with your daughter, you will pay the other half. Then the parents were ready with the money this side of the country, in the United States, but they lie. They want to explore her, and they actually asked some of the members of the group to pay more money for have sex with that little girl.
Did they do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, they raped her. They put her in that situation, and she didn't have no way to defend herself. She was in the middle of the mountains. Nobody to help her. Vulnerable situation, and they raped her, and that's why I had to go to the emergency room when they called me, because The Border Patrol was able to rescue her, but, you know, she has to have the pill, the morning pill, and all the exams and everything after all these rapes. And then she has to, you know, whatever information she can provide to testify against these criminals. I was there with her going through those, you know, taking the pills, getting all the check out and check her and everything. But I was myself sure then she felt that I'm there not because of the investigation, not for all those things, just for being with her. She was my niece, so my own daughter, holding her hand and go through all these difficult situations with somebody that didn't care and understand her. That was my position in that moment.
Alma, I can't quite understand how a grandmother on one side, a mother on the other side, would trust to subject a 12-year-old girl to travel with the... How many people were in the group, do you know?
Well, that happened quite a years, but if I recall, 8 or 10 men were there, probably another 5 adult women. I don't recall exactly, but this is happening more frequently than we can believe. You see the situation of the Ecuador girls, then they just throw them over the fence. I mean, these coyotes, these smugglers are inhuman. They don't care about a little girl. They see them as a merchandise, and that's why they care.
But I just, if I'm the grandmother in Ecuador, like those two little girls where there was actually a video footage of them being thrown or dropped, or I don't know if they were thrown or dropped over the fence, but I just can't understand how an adult would let little ones go with these monsters. I don't get it, Alma.
Is that exactly how desperate they are? They've been told about, first of all, they're running away from difficult situations in their own country. Sometimes their lives are in risk, or their tragedies, you know, in their own country. Then they're trying to, they hear that in the United States they can have a better life. They say then every day people cross the border with the smugglers and it's safe. They believe that. Like they believe right now then everybody with a child can cross the border and it's like their ticket into the United States. Because they say then the president say that and then it's okay to do that. Then right now it's a big business for the smugglers because they're bringing people and they promise them that everything will be okay. I'm coming to the United States, and then some parents use their children as the ticket in to the United States, and the smugglers don't care. They lie to them, and they make them believe that everything is going to be okay and easy.
Wow. Hey, Alma, let's go to break. I'm talking with Alma Tucker. She is the founder of the International Network of Hearts, and she's been on the front line in Southern California for many years regarding what happens down at the border. And I want to ask her about now, how this compares, how this administration's policies compare to the last administration's policies, if in fact there's a difference. Because ultimately, I think we as Americans, we as Christians, we are looking at this and there's a tragedy that is going on. And we've got to get a handle on that. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Alma Tucker.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N. KimMunson.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Sunday afternoons at 3 here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Alma Tucker. She is the founder of the International Network of Hearts and then has a partner organization in Mexico as well. Alma, are you seeing it? It seems to me that there's a difference between the last administration and this administration's policies and what is happening at the border, but you're there. What do you see?
Well, since the Biden administration slightly changed Title 42 in late January to allow for unaccompanied children to enter, that's what they're hearing in the foreign countries. We see a lot of people coming from Central America, from the south of Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. Then all these people hear about these changes. Then, as you know, as the cases of children reaching the border and accompanied, and it's increasing rapidly by 100 or 200% each month. In March alone, there were nearly 19,000 unaccompanied minors. And about 90% of the children arriving are able to unite with family members. But we're still talking about around 2,000 children, then the family's not here yet. But they're coming, you know. I mean, like I said, the ticket is the children. But you see, as I drive every morning crossing from San Diego to Tijuana, I see people standing right there, either waiting for their appointments or just waiting for a coyote to give the sign. I see a lot of, and I've been talking to organizations that specialize in migrants. They have a breakfast places. They have one in particular feed every morning between 800 and 1,000 people, and it's coming from, like I said, Central America and south of Mexico. And they say the same. I ask them, why are they coming in such a big number now of groups? And they say, well, because they hear then the administration, the new administration, opened the borders for children, and they're taking in to the United States.
I've heard that there are people that are renting children to try to get across the border. Have you seen anything along that line?
I didn't hear that in particular, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I see and it's difficult because you try to reach to these children, but somebody's watching them. And they all say their family, the kids are brainwashed. They know what to say and what not to say. It's all like a big business now for the smugglers, and they're in control. The organized crime is in control. And these people is in the vulnerable situation to fall in trafficking, you know, because they're not in their community. They're, some ones don't speak the language, then they're vulnerable.
When we say trafficking, I think I've thought of sex trafficking. Is that what you're referring to, or is it just the trafficking of human beings from one place to another, or is it both? Or what do you see as the definition of that word, Alma?
Well, what I'm talking is they're vulnerable to human trafficking, and I'm talking to sex exploitation, labor exploitation. I hear cases in... because some are not only little kids, some ones are young adults. I'm talking about 16, 17 years old. And then the organized crime offer them drugs. And it's the way to introduce them to the drugs. And then they ask them to sell the drugs. In the beginning, probably they say yes, but when they are against that, when they deny to sell drugs, then start the threat, the force. Then that's what I'm talking. Not coming to this country, we understand, it's not human trafficking. That is just trafficking for the smugglers is what they're doing. But when somebody else are using, exploiting to lucrate, to to get some money benefit. That's what we're talking about, human trafficking.
Okay. So I'm seeing around this issue, there's a whole lot of different issues on that. First of all, there is this business of just bringing people into the country illegally. And I guess the next question is, why do people want to come to America? What are you seeing? Why are people risking this and paying money to do this?
Well, they're coming in very difficult situations because some walk for months. Some of the kids are there, carry them, some in strollers. But and some families ride in buses, or if they're lucky, they just jump in the train. They're looking for opportunities. But the conditions are extremely difficult. But the promise of a life in the United States is strong enough to motivate the families to keep going. You can imagine then where they're coming from, things are very, very difficult. And someone come and say, life is better in the United States, and they're moved. They're successfully moving to get a better opportunity.
Another thing that is happening, though, so this American opportunity, this is the reason why people came to America. And the reason there is this American opportunity is because America was founded on this idea that all men are created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that is what has made America great. But when people are coming in illegally, then, once you have this whole illegal thing happen, then there becomes vulnerabilities as well, as you mentioned regarding this young girl that was raped, or the vulnerability of getting over here and wanting a job, and the cartels, the organized crime says, here, start to sell drugs. So in some ways, we're starting to import crime in that way as well. And then you mentioned many of these children are reunited with family, but there are kids that are not. And yes. And that is probably where we see real vulnerabilities regarding sex trafficking. And do you feel that since you started to get into this business that there is more sex trafficking now or less? I know it's a subjective question than when you many years ago started to see these issues.
I definitely see that it's more in the eyes of the people before. I mean, human trafficking has been forever and all over the world. But now people actually put more attention, more in the third world countries, than we call usos y costumbres. Then it's very common, either their own parents sexual assault their own children, or we have a community in close to Mexico City, Tenancingo, then for generations, since the young kids, they're educated to be a pimps. They're training to be pimps, and they go to different parts of the country to locate vulnerable children, to bring them to the border and exploit them right there in the border region, or bring them all the way to United States. Then this has happened forever. But what I see different right now is that it's been more attention. I remember the last administration make a very strong team to fight against human trafficking. We were called three times to the White House and the administration to give a voice to the victims at the border. And you see more things in the TV, important people like Epson, story, and then that bring to their attention that, wow, this is not just happening in third world country. This is happening right here. And what I've been seeing is that not talking about this subject, that's making it any fight against human trafficking. The only way to fight against human trafficking is put attention, have a clear conscience about it's happening, and do something about it. Everybody can do something about it. Talk to their own children. Talk to the we more love ones. Give love to our own children in our own home. Don't expect them. They found the love in their social media, because we need to be more proactive. the organized crime, they're not resting. I mean, they are in a social media looking for vulnerable children. They are looking for who needs what, and they know how to get to your own children. Then we have to go to the basic communication with our own children.
Well, that is certainly the place to start. Alma Tucker, I thank you so much for this interview. And I want to, again, make the point that you were to the White House during the Trump administration, you said three times, and it never was really reported, but Trump really was working to stop human trafficking. At least that's my understanding. You've got about 25 seconds. Am I correct as I say that, Alma?
I have 25 seconds in the White House?
Yeah, just say, my understanding that Trump actually really was trying to fight against human trafficking. Okay.
Yes, and we were there, and when he received me and another group of experts on the subject, he knows me by my name. He knew where I was working, and he thanked me for what we're doing. Yeah, because it's not easy, the region that we are. It's not casualty that we are the only organization in Baja California.
And Alma, that is so amazing. And again, that's Alma Tucker with the International Network of Hearts. And John F. Kennedy said, one person can make a difference and everyone should try. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone, my friends. God bless you and God bless America. I want to cry.